Starsports.bet provide the complete betting experience. Find us online via our website and app, on course, and at our flagship betting shop in London's Mayfair. 18 years and older only. BeGambleAware.org.
Light the candle, Tiger!
Hi there, welcome along to the Racing Post Golf Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, Steve Palmer and Star Sports Glenn Day looking back on last week and more importantly looking ahead to the Italian Open and the Houston Open where hopefully the boys have got plenty of winning tips for you. Let's, before we look ahead, look back to what happened last week. We had the Shriners Open, which was won by one of the slowest golfers in the world, Kevin Na, in a playoff. And the Spanish Open, in which the jolly obliged Big Johnny Rahm got the job done. I think it was about 3-1, Glenn, at the outset. Was that short enough to make sure that punters trod carefully, or did everyone pile in regardless and you all did your money?
Yeah, no, so we had 7-2 up for a couple of hours early doors. We did have to take it down, so not a great result for us. A small loser in the book, but overall very... quite event, really. Said it wasn't deep in quality. So, yeah, small loser for us on that one this week.
I laid him, Steve. That was silly, wasn't it? I was checking the old app. Oh, we've got a new European Tour app, by the way, haven't we? It's got a new look, which looked nice, except when I looked on Saturday afternoon and he'd gone from jostling with four or five others for the lead to suddenly being six clear. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, he suddenly turned on the afterburners, didn't he? And it was away and gone. I mean, 3-1 was too short for me. I couldn't take that. But yeah, it was all over by Sunday. I mean, we probably did him a disservice last week. As Dave was asking who he think is going to be world number one in 10 years time. And me and Glenn both went for Victor Hovland. But, you know, probably doing a John Rahm a disservice there. He's only 24 years old. He's grown in confidence all the time. You know, in 10 years' time, he's only going to be 34. He's probably going to be world number one, isn't he? So, yeah, disappointing Spanish Open that. But the one good thing is that the Rahm's gone top of the race to Dubai, and we tipped Rahm for the race to Dubai at the start of the year. So, and we have Brooks Koepka for the money list. So hopefully we'll get the double in the money lists.
That's good. And what about Kevin Na? He beat Patrick Cantlay in the playoffs, Steve, didn't he? I was over in France for the Arc de Triomphe, so I missed all the golf, unfortunately. But was it exciting?
Very nice, too. Yeah, very exciting. I mean, I was all over the Las Vegas residence last week. Colin Morikawa and Aaron Wise, and then a Las Vegas resident won, but it was Kevin Na. I mean, he was just about gettable. He won this tournament in 2011. His maiden title came at Summerlin. He's still a Las Vegas resident, and I know you're a huge fan of the nappy factor, Bruce. I mean, yeah, this was a massive victory for the nappy factor. He had his first son born at the end of August. Little Leo Li Wu Na, that's his name. Leo Li Wu Na was born just 6 weeks ago. So, yeah, an inspired performance from Na. I mean, it's the best putting performance I've seen in ever, probably.
We can rekindle the old joke that we did when Tiger had his first child, didn't he? Is Kevin Na hearing the pitter putter of tiny feet?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, if we'd had you on last week, you might have reminded us that he just had little Leo Li Wu Na, and we would have backed him. But yeah. Again, both, well, obviously Rahm hugely gettable, but I couldn't back him at that price. Kevin Na 70-1. Yeah, maybe we should have had him on our radar.
Any eye catchers from last week, Glenn?
Yeah, well, a couple of guys that I put up, actually. Lanto Griffin doing nothing wrong again. Not quite making it into the top 10 again, but doing lots right. Four top 20s in the first four events of the season. And Denny McCarthy, sadly a double bogey on 17, played himself out of the frame, but number one in birdies, number four strokes gained putting. Just gets more and more comfortable on the tour, and I'm sure that first win's round the corner.
Lovely stuff. And who caught your eye, Steve?
Well, Adam Hadwin was an absolute hero for me because he rescued the whole week by getting a place in with a final round 63 in the Shriners. So, Adam Hadwin started the season really well. Cameron Smith, another one to take from the Shriners, closed with a 65 for 13th place. He's got the President's Cup on his radar in Royal Melbourne in December. So I think Smith's really keen to play well in his homeland. He's gearing up for a strong end to the season. In the Spanish Open, I mean, Samuel Del Valle was the surprise name on the leaderboard, but he's no spring chicken. He's 32 years of age, so I wouldn't expect that to be a springboard to anything. I think Masahiro Kawamura is the eye catcher from the Spanish Open, another Japanese youngster. He's only 26 years of age, having a really solid rookie campaign on the European Tour. So, yeah, look out for Kawamura in the weeks to come.
And finally, Steve, anyone who should take a good hard look at themselves over their performances last week?
Sergio. I mean, Sergio's in the shadow of Rahm now, isn't he? I mean, you had those two as the, you know, it billed as a John Rahm v. Sergio Garcia contest, and it was no contest. I mean, I think Garcia's ego, you know, he's got a big ego. I think it's under pressure now, isn't it? Because he's quite clearly not the Spanish number one, and, you know, maybe he'd be looking at himself in the mirror and feeling quite sad.
He's had a funny year, hasn't he, Glenn? Because he won a couple of weeks ago. But apart from that, his season's been basically notable solely for his appalling behaviour and fairly crap results, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, since he won the Masters, really, sort of lost his form completely. He got married in the meantime, didn't he? He's had a kid and all that. Yeah, but showed really good form a few weeks back. So I thought he'd be going forward. But, yeah, I do wonder sometimes some of these guys, whether they're, yeah, 100% all golf these days. The thing that got them there in the first place, whether they just take their foot off the pedal a little bit and that makes a difference to winning or top tens.
Steve made mention earlier that I'm a big fan of the nappy factor. That's complete bollocks. I think it's complete nonsense. Where do you stand on the nappy factor, Glenn? I mean, I went out and had my first round of golf after my kids were born. It was even worse than normal. Is there any science to this? Has anyone actually correlated results after a player's wife or girlfriend has had a baby?
I think it has been done. I think was it Keith Elliott who used to do the book? I think there was a bit in there I seem to remember vaguely from years and years ago. I think it works both ways. Sometimes it works like when Kevin Noel wins, oh yeah, it'll work, but it can go completely the other way and you don't hear about it. If a guy getting no sleep and finishes tailed off, no one mentions the nappy factor then.
No, quite. Steve, how much does it play a factor in your calculations?
It's just the icing on the cake, isn't there? There's a lot of these little factors that are just icing on the cake. If you've got a strong case for someone, then you find out that they have potential inspiration. You just have an added layer of confidence. That's all it is. I mean, Glenn makes a good point about Garcia there. He's been rubbish since he got married. Maybe that's another little factor we need to look into. You know, marriage destroys golfers. I mean, Ryan Fox was developing into one of the better players on the European Tour. And then when he got married, he just missed a million cuts in a row. So, yeah, there's all sorts of, you know, they're humans, aren't they? They're not robots, these guys. And you know, family life does have an effect on them.
And finally, how was the punting last week, Steve? Did Hadwin get you out of trouble?
Yeah, I mean, it was similar to the previous week where Joachim Lagergren got a place and that meant didn't lose much. Hadwin was an absolute hero to come in with that final round 65. Sorry, 63. Yeah, that keeps me in the game for this week.
Glenn, did you back any winners?
No, good for me. I'd say Denny McCarthy would have saved the week if he'd stayed in the frame. But no, disappointing in the water, 17. A blob for me this week.
If you were given the chance to be called Ben rather than Glenn, would you take it?
No.
Cool. Okay, European Tour this week takes place at the the Olgiata Golf Club near Rome. It's the Italian Open. We've got some big names. It's a good field, isn't it? Glenn, give us your tournament rating and then Sky Sports' latest betting.
Yeah, it gets a very solid 7 this week. And we're 50 odds the first 7 places. A 9-1 Paul Casey, 11-1 Justin Rose, 15-1 Francesco Molinari, 18 Shane Lowry, 22 Matt Wallace, Matt Fitzpatrick, 25, Danny Willett, 28, Andrea Pavan, and 33-1, Alex Noren, Bernd Wiesberger, Eric Van Rooyen, and Tyrrell Hatton.
Yeah, very good field this. Steve, what sort of track is it?
The West Course at Olgiata Golf Club in Rome, 7,523 yards. So, long track for a par 71, tree-lined, fairly tight, no picnic for the European Tour stars this week. I mean, Rory was complaining the other day about how easy European Tour venues are. You know, he should be playing this one. It'd be a good test for them this week. Ian Poulter won with a 19 under par 3-round total in 2002 when the Italian Open was last played it, but it's a completely different course now, much changed, much tougher, and it's been a challenge tour venue a few times, and the last time it staged a challenge tour event was in 2015, and it was a 5 under par winning total and only 2 players finished under par. So you're really gonna have to golf your ball well to succeed around here this week.
Okay, and as always with the Racing Post comprehensive tournament guides, we have a key attribute, and the key attribute this week is accuracy. So, Steve is hoping his tips are accurate. Blimey, there's enough of them. Who's your number one, Steve?
Number one is Matt Wallace, who's got a great record in Italy. A lot of these Italian courses are similar, tight tree line venues. He was a dominant force on the Alps Tour in 2016, and three of his victories that year came in Italy, including the grand final. And then the following year, he made his Italian Open debut when he was 150th in the world rankings, and he went very close to winning that, ended up alone in fourth place. 2 years on, he's a four-time European Tour champion. He started performing well in majors. He was third in the USPGA in May. And more recently, I really like what I'm seeing from him. He's recruited a good new caddy, Jonathan Smart, really good young caddy. And then after a first-round 75 in the KLM Open, he played absolutely Superman golf from there to finish third. He was first-round leader at Wentworth, and he closed the Dunhill strongly for 15th place last time out. So, yeah, I just feel like Wallace is ready to win a tournament again, and this is a good fit.
And Glenn, who's your number one selection?
My number one selection is going to be Andrea Pavan, a guy who gets a lot of mentions on this podcast, continues in very good form.
He never bloody wins, does he? Gets tipped every single week and never does anything, does he?
Did gain his second win this year, but yeah, not since.
Apart from
After that win, yeah, he had three miscuts in his next four starts, but a Rolex event in between, finished tied fourth, Scottish Open. Tied 12th in Spain last week, second round 75, put paid to any chances of winning, but typically tied in a 65 in the final round to achieve a decent finish. He's ranked second in driving accuracy at Wentworth recently, hit 85% of greens in regulation at the Daniel Leakes Championship, and ranked third in putting last week. So signs that all the parts of his game still working well. Born in Rome and grew up playing most of his golf at Olgiata, so he knows the course really well. And he's actually still a member there. Played 23 events on home soil, three top tens, and a win in the 2011 Challenge Tour Grand Final, where he beat Tommy Fleetwood by a shot. Played two of the events that have been held at this course on the Challenge Tour, finishing seventh in 2011 and tied 40th in 2015. Possibly slightly disappointed given how well he knew the course, but he comes here a much better player this time round and expects another prominent showing from the Italian this week.
Steve knows what I'm going to say here, Glenn, but basically when these guys play the course that they know like the back of their hand, I don't think it's an advantage. Like whenever the Open was at Troon, everyone go, oh, Montgomery's going to win it this year. But he plays it when they've set it up for the members. There's no rough. The greens are nice. The pin placement's nice. When they set it up for a tournament, it's a different place. I just think it spooks them. I mean, you know, how much, again, like with the nappy factor with St. Glenn, is there any science to it? How much is knowing a course that valuable when they set the course up in such a different way when there's a tournament?
I mean, it would seem that as well, obviously, playing even in the Challenge Tour events. But the key for me is, it's not even necessarily how well you play, it's knowing where to miss. You know, there'll be areas where you definitely don't want to go, and it'll be steering clear now. So you know those shots, obviously, more than other players. Does it always result in a win? Of course not, no. As you say, it's a very strong field this week. But I don't see it certainly be a disadvantage. It's got to be a positive. And, yeah, we'll see this week.
We certainly will. OK, Steve, as well as Matt Wallace, give us your number two selection.
Give me number two seconds. Just to add that point, it's not just the course dynamics that it's also the comfort of being at the venue and being close to home. I mean, anyone who doubts the advantage of playing close to home only has to look at the winners of the last fortnight. Victor Perez, Cameron Champ, John Rahm and Kevin Na, all playing really close to home. And, okay. You know, I think that, you know, sleeping in your own bed is always a good one. So, yeah, I like Andre Pavan this week, and we'll get on to him. But, yeah, next best is Shane Lowry. I'm going for a third tournament in succession, keeping the faith. I think he'll love this track. It's been likened to Wentworth's West Course. They're both called the West Course. Very, very similar to Wentworth, according to a lot of Italian journalists, where Lowry, of course, has a hugely consistent record. His confidence levels are quite rightly sky high after his Open heroics. He's been playing great all year. Slow starts have cost him the last two appearances, but he's finished strongly. 11th at Wentworth, 15th in the Dunhill. His A game is bubbling nicely to the surface. I think it'd be a ding-dong battle between Lowry and Ram for the race to Dubai. So, yeah, Wallace and Lowry are the two biggest bets. And then Andre Pavan will be my third selection. Not much to add to what Glenn said there. But, yeah, he's got home track advantage, and he's playing well enough to take advantage of that. You know, he's in great form.
OK, we'll come back to you for your other three selections before Glenn tells us who else he's putting up. How many in total are there, Glenn?
Yeah, only two more.
Go on then, mate.
Matt Wallace as well as Steve, so not much to add to that. Obviously, the three victories in the Tour de Alpes. I love this guy, fierce competitor, hasn't won yet this season. I'm sure he'll be keen on adding another title. And the last one I've got to put up, I know he's tournament favourite, but Paul Casey. Just rounded off one of his most consistent PGA Tour seasons, third in the Tour Championship, eighth in the FedEx Cup regular season. Achieved a lifelong ambition this season when successfully defending a title at the Valspar Championship. Played 22 events in 2019, two wins, eight top fives and 12 top 20s. Ranked ninth in strokes gained off the tee and sixth in strokes gained tee to green on the PGA Tour last season. Two visits to Europe recently, where their second win was in the European Open and a tied 11th for Wentworth, where his putter was a little bit off, and I'm sure if he'd been hot, he would have finished much higher. Usually pretty solid on the greens, and I expect him to show why he's a tournament favourite this week.
Okay, three from Glenn. You've got six, Steve. We've had three so far. We'll get the other three now, please.
Yeah, the other three, and one of them is opened at 1,000-1, so don't panic. It is a viable staking plan, but Victor Perez is number four. Made his breakthrough last time out in the Dunhill Links Championship. Really impressive. Found more than 90% of greens in regulation. He's a rock-solid tee-to-green operator, Perez. He'll appreciate the stiff long game test of Olgiata. And he had some strong form in Italy on the Alps Tour in 2016. Number five selection is Adri Arnoux. If there's going to be a maiden to win this week, tough ass Rolex Series event, but Adrianus is not your typical maiden. He's a winner waiting to happen. He's come close a few times in this, which is his rookie campaign. He was fourth in the Spanish Open on Sunday. He's won twice in Italy on the Alps Tour in 2017. He's got that ball striking class to handle Olgiata. And then the final one at the enormous prices is Enrico De Nito. I mean, what a name. What a name for starters. I mean, he's not going to struggle for confidence. He can swagger into the discotheques. Enrico De Nito, 26-year-old Rome boy. He won the Nazionale Open in his home city of Rome on the Alps Tour at the end of July. That was his first win. He's really getting his act together recently. He's moved up 1,243 places in the world rankings this year. He finished third in the Savino Open a month ago. In Italy. He was 16th in a Challenge Tour event last week. And crucially, he's the touring pro for Olgiata. He's attached to Olgiata. This is his base. Only Andrea Pavan can really rival him for course knowledge. So, maybe he can run into a place. I mean, the suggestion that Samuel Del Valle could have finished in the places last week was ludicrous. He was ranked 1,413th in the world. Enrico De Nito is ranked 603rd in the world. So, he's no mug.
Did you manage to hoover up any of the 1,000-1?
Well, yeah, it's a bookmaker that doesn't take bets of me, unfortunately. So no, I couldn't have that. But I think Enrico De Nito is worth a dart. You know, if you can get a firm with how many places, Glenn Penn? Seven places.
Seven.
You know, he could sneak into a seventh place, Enrico De Nito.
Oh, we've got to back him. Excellent. So you're putting quite a bit of emphasis on Rome advantage this week, aren't you, Steve? With Pavan and De Nico, both local players. Excellent. Absolutely. It's a really good field, isn't it, Steve? I mean, you know, the Italian Open isn't always this good. I was looking through some recent winners of this, and it's a tremendous lineup, isn't it?
Well, the PGA Tour tinkering with their schedule has actually made the European Tour better. I mean, yeah, the European Tour, the PGA Tour event this week is rubbish compared to the European Tour.
Exactly. Right? I've been whining on all year on here about how crap the European Tour events are, but they're really coming into their own now. So perhaps, you know, this kind of tortoise and hare tactic where they're making sure that they've got all the good players and all the tournaments at the end of the year is paying dividends.
It is. I was playing with a tortoise last week, actually. One of my friends has got a little tortoise and I couldn't believe how quick it was. But that's
really?
That's not going to help.
Did you enjoy it? I used to have a friend who had a tortoise and it used to defecate all over their carpet in a sort of yeah, it didn't really like it. It was
no. How speedy was it? I mean, this was like a little one. It was sprinting across the carpet. I thought that's not supposed to happen. They're supposed to be slow, lumbering things, isn't it? But it's quite an eye opener.
Would you consider getting a tortoise?
No. I wouldn't consider getting a tortoise. I was warned by the owner that they can nip at feet and that. So I had my little baby there, and I was thinking, is he going to get his feet nipped by a tortoise? That might scar him for life. So
and also, apart from a hedgehog, there's no strokeable benefits, is there? Just stroking a sort of hard shell? No.
I don't know why he's got it.
They're a strange pair. Have you got pets, Glenn?
A couple of cats.
Cats.
My missus is an absolute cat lover. So, yeah, just two at the moment. We had five a few years back.
Blimey. Okay, right, let's do the American tournament next.
On the move, Follow all the latest starsports.bet golf prices hole by hole on our website and betting app. Just search for Star Sports Bet on the App Store or Google Play. 18 years and older only. BeGambleAware.org.
Right, welcome back. Bruce Millington, Steve Palmer and Star Sports Glenn Day. Looking ahead to the Houston Open, which in comparison to the Italian Open is far from stellar. And it's not often you see Henrik Stenson at a single-digit price for a tournament, but he is here. So, Glenn, tournament rating is what?
A 3.
It's like really? A ranking, you butchered it. Oh, my God.
This week, yeah.
A 3. Yeah, so
lacking in depth, I've got to say.
We have a problem.
Yeah, we do. Boy, I mean, that's a shocker, isn't it? It really isn't. I mean, it's not star-studded by any means, but a winner is a winner. So take us through the prices, Glenn, and then we'll get to the tips.
Yeah, each way a fifth, the first six for this one. She said 9-1 Henrik Stenson, 22-1 Brian Harman and Daniel Berger, 25-1 Cameron Champ and Russell Henley, at 28 Pat Perez and Scotty Scheffler, 33 Denny McCarthy and 40-1 Russell Knox and Sebastian Munoz.
What a poxy old lineup that is. Still, as I say, a winner is a winner. So, Glenn, how many are you putting up this week?
I've got just the 3.
Well, give us number one.
Number one, I'm sticking with Denny McCarthy. I mentioned recently about players getting comfortable on tour, and I think he's a typical example of it. Week in, week out now, he's putting in good performances. Corn Ferry Tour Championship winner by 4 shots in 2018 suggested good things, but struggled in his first season on tour. But more recently, 6 top 25s in his last 10 starts. And his recent form, 11, 35, 22, missed cut, 31, 18 and 9. As his confidence has been growing, so too has his ball striking. He's improved it 67% of fairways this season, 80% of greens in regulation at Sanderson Farms and 82% last week at Summerlin. A hot putter will be an asset this week, and that's an area where McCarthy usually delivers. His last 7 starts ranked in the top 7 for putting 4 times, and last week ranked 3rd, averaging just 1.59 per green. Holds plenty of those 8 to 10 footers, whether for birdie or par, to keep the momentum going in rounds. Early days this season, already ranking 12th in scoring average, 3rd strokes gained putting, 7th in par 4 scoring. One go here last year, finished tied 43rd, but he was ranked 479 in the world on that occasion. Now finds himself up to 140, and I'm sure he's in for another good week.
Righty-ho, and who's your top dog, Stevie?
Top dog, Russell Henley, magnificent course record. He won this tournament in 2017 by 3 shots. His full course form figures are 45, 7, 4, 5, 1, 8. Oh. Russell Henley is always on the Houston leaderboard. This time he's arrived in solid nick. He's made 7 cuts in a row, a streak which started with a runner-up effort in the John Deere Classic where he fired a closing round of 61. He carded 4 rounds in the 60s in the Shriners last week, so a tidy warm-up. Obviously, we've got a change of schedule. Used to be played in the pre-Masters slot, the Houston Open. So slightly different course conditions. The Bermuda is flourishing. But that'll be welcomed by Russell Henley. He's got an excellent record on Bermuda. He won his maiden Web.com Tour event in Georgia. He's won in Florida on both the Web.com Tour and the PGA Tour. He's a Georgia boy through and through. He relishes this type of terrain. Yeah, I make Henley one of the most likely players to be lifting the trophy on Sunday.
Blimey, you make a very strong case. So that is course form to die for, isn't it, Steve? You don't normally get, I mean, some, you know, you'll get Tiger Woods or one of the top dogs having fantastic course form, but for a lesser light to have such significant course form, blimey, that's amazing. What would that be down to? I mean, is this so idiosyncratic, this track, that it is possible for a player to just fall in love with it?
Well, they used to set it up to resemble Augusta as much as possible to attract players in before playing the Masters. And so they had shaved banks around the greens. And Henley traditionally has had a very, very sharp short game. So I think that's why he's flourished there. And as I say, I don't see this change of schedule having much of an impact. The grass will be slightly thicker rough. But I think, it's always a birdie fest this tournament. Very generous fairways. I think, those hitting their approach as well and carrying a sharp short game, I think will flourish.
Steve, you've got a chance to guess who Glenn's other two tips are. Who do you reckon?
Lanto Griffin. And Henrik Stenson.
Go on then, Glenn. What have you got?
he was an absolute million to get my second one. I'm going for Xinjun Zhang. Not a massive.
I was
going to
say that.
A winner of the PGA Tour of China in 2014. Flitted back and forth between that and the Corn Ferry Tour. Partly due a few seasons back to receiving a 6-month ban for signing an incorrect score on two occasions. Obviously got over that, had a full season on the 2018 tour, but failed to keep his card, went back to the Corn Ferry, but showed the benefit of the earlier experiences with two wins and 5 top 10 finishes. He's had a good start to this season, achieved the best tour finish to tie 7th at the Safeway Open, and was tied 16th last week at the Shriners, where he ranked 4th in driving accuracy and tied 8th in greens in regulation, hitting 13 in the first round, all 18 in the second round, 14 in the third and 15 in the last. In that hot run of form in the midsummer where he got those two wins, he 5 times ranked in the top 10 in putting. So another where all aspects of his game are working well. And the last time he played in Texas in April, he won the Dormy Network Classic by 5 shots. I could see him having a decent week this week. And the last one...
Sorry, Glenn. So that's... he's halfway down the Racing Post price grid and he's XJ Zhang, yeah?
Yeah, he's about 66, but yeah, Xinjun Zhang. I think he's the first Chinese person to gain a full card on the PGA Tour, actually.
Righty-ho.
Steve rightly said, I'm going to... A final week with Lento Griffin. Obviously, we covered plenty of him in the last few weeks. So 4 top 20 finishes in the first 4 events of the season. The only player to do that so far. He's just doing everything right. So red hot on the greens. Hits the ball a long way. He's finding a lot more fairways now. So he played well again last week. My only concern is that he's achieving his high finishes without really being involved at the business end. So hopefully he'll get himself a bit closer up the leaderboard after a couple of rounds. And we'll see what he can do when in proper contention on Sunday.
Okay, 2 more from you, Steve.
Next best, Bo Hostler, narrowly beaten last year. Ian Poulter birdied the final hole regulation play and then beat Hostler in a playoff, then pumped his chest like a deranged gorilla. You must remember that one. Yeah. So Hostler was really unlucky last year. He loves this course. He was always expected to develop into a PGA Tour champion. He was brilliant from a young age. He finished 29th in the US Open as a 17-year-old. And there have been encouraging signs lately that at the age of 24, he's going to get the job done. A couple of bright recent efforts. He's playing in his adopted home state this week. He went to college in Texas, then he stayed there, lives there now. I think he's worth chancing at a juicy price.
And...
And then got one more, yeah, one final selection.
Why did you pause there?
I didn't know whether Glenn had finished.
Oh, no, Glenn's done. No, sorry.
I got 3 against the field, and my final one is Harris English, who's really tightened up his long game this season. He's churning out fairways and greens. He's finished 3rd, 6th, and 33rd in his 3 spins this season. Yeah, it's classic how this grand old game of golf gets you. His swing has suddenly found top gear, and at the same time, his short game has taken a dip. You know, this mad old game sends you bonkers. But English is normally reliable on the greens, and I think he'll make this long game form properly count at some stage soon. I see him contending for a 3rd PGA Tour title on Sunday.
Super duper. Let's talk about the jolly then. What is your view of Stenson, Glenn?
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously the best player in the field. Official World Golf Rankings say that as well. He's got good form at Houston as well. 2 seconds, a 3rd and a 6th in recent times. He's in decent nick. Tee to green, always been excellent. But it's like when he gets on the greens, that he can be a little bit iffy. And again, at single figure prices, I can just give him a miss this week.
Were you happy to leave him alone as well, Steve?
Yeah, he's not won since August 2017, and he got into contention at Wentworth going into the weekend, and folded tamely. So yeah, he's got a good Houston record, but no value for me.
Righty ho, chaps. Let's recap the selections. Then we'll start with the Italian Open. Steve Palmer.
Matt Wallace, Shane Lowry, Andrea Pavan, Victor Perez, Adrianus, Enrico De Nito,
and Glenn Day.
Andrea Pavan, Matt Wallace, and Paul Casey.
And in the Houston Open, 3 from each of you, Steve.
Russell Henley, Bo Hostler, Harris English.
And Glenn.
Denny McCarthy, Xinjun Zhang, and Lento Griffin.
And if you were backing one of each other's tips, you're not allowed to say Pavan and Wallace. Who's made the best case for one that you haven't tipped? Steve, which of Glenn's do you like best?
Lanto Griffin. Yeah, he's got a good short game. Houston suits that style of play. Yeah, I give him a good chance.
Glenn, I know you think Steve's a grotty judge, but which of his tips do you like best?
Not at all, Bruce. Not at all. Russell Henley, definitely, with the calls form.
And if you only had one bet, who would you be backing this week, Steve?
The Matt Wallace, Russell Henley, each way double.
And I bet you've done that, haven't you? You little tinker.
Yeah, very much so, John.
Excellent. And what would you be doing there, Glenn?
Yeah, I'm having the Pevan McCarthy each way double.
Good luck with the doubles, lads. One day we will bring home the bacon and everyone will be quids in. Right then, next week we've got the CJ Cup at Nine Bridges on the PGA Tour and the Open de France at lovely Golf National in Paris on the European Tour. And Steve, that's another tournament, isn't it, that we'd normally expect to be played in blazing summer sunshine, but it's moved this increasingly attractive autumn slot.
A lovely balance to the year now, isn't there? There really isn't a quiet year in the golfing calendar.
No, it's excellent. It really, really is. Steve, what have you got lined up that's going to excite you between now and when we reconvene next Wednesday?
It's just going to work on health, Bruce. Yeah, yeah, not feeling great. The change of seasons always gets me. You know, that summer to autumn change, I seem to deteriorate mentally and physically in that spell. So, yeah, just a few warm baths.
Why didn't you come and play? We've got a Racing Post golf day at Walton Heath tomorrow and you've blown us out.
Yeah, we'll work a lot harder than you, Bruce. So, yeah, I've got a multi-award winning column to write.
That's done me. Glenn, what's on your calendar that's got you licking your lips with excitement for the next 7 days?
Nothing at all this week, Bruce. I'm off Saturday. I think the missus has got something planned, but she hasn't told me yet. It's a surprise. So.
Oh, lovely. What could that be? Creosoting a fence, a National Trust's property?
It'll probably involve me spending some money, I'm sure.
Oh, excellent. It's lucky you've got so much. Righty-ho, chaps, thank you very much indeed. Like I say, loads of great golf next Wednesday, and we'd love you to join us on Friday as well for the Racing Post Weekend Racing Postcast.
Give them the haul!
Long-term golf markets for 2020 available now on starsports.bet, including the Open, the Masters, and the Ryder Cup from Wisconsin. 18 years and older only, begambleaware.org.